good things that God gives us and the good places in life and all of these things. There's nothing on this side really that can really compare to what's going to happen when we get over there and step on that side. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's turn to Mark, first chapter, verses 40, 41. Talk about grace a little bit. Everybody say grace. Hallelujah. Grace. And that's a subject that is definitely something that needs to be preached and taught in our churches.
Yes.
And it's not a license to sin.
Right.
But because other people misuse it, that don't mean we don't believe it. Preach
right.
Teach about it.
Amen. Right.
We have to. I believe there's a disconnect from the modern church world today and whom they say they know and believe. Last Friday morning, they come on the Christian radio station, to a Christian artist named Mandisa. I don't know if you ever heard of her or not, but she was on American Idol. Anyway, got a lot of songs. I'm an overcomer. And the latest song that she cut was really, really beautiful, but they found her last Friday morning, passed away, and she struggled with weight issues and anxiety and all these things. And I don't know, I haven't looked quite this week exactly what happened and what went on. But you know, it's more than just singing about a God that cares about us and loves us. We've got to know it, and we've got to feel it, and we've got to believe it to the inner core of our being. It can't be a disconnect. He's the only hope we have. We love our families, and you know, it's been a great thing when we serve God and love God, and family comes to church, and you know, we see people converted, and nephews and nieces, and our church is a lot of family, and man, grandkids. There's a lot of good things in life, but you know what? This ain't what it's all about.
Right.
It's about us getting to that other side, to where there is going to be no pain, no suffering, no time. And Jesus cleansed a leper here, Mark 1 and verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You may be seated. Lord, thank you for your word. Touch us in this place. Help us, Lord, each and every one that is here. Let there be a connection made, Lord. Send your word and heal us in your precious, lovely name.
Amen.
So we see this leper came to Jesus. And you know, obviously, he had heard about Jesus and his power. He had heard about Jesus' healings. But you see, it was more than just something he heard. This man really truly believed and knew that Jesus could heal him.
Right.
So he don't come maybe as a more a conventional way as you would think of, but he came and he approached Jesus, which was illegal for him to do in his current condition, and probably people begin to scatter and part on the road when they see this leper. And some probably begin to say, hey, what are you doing here? You can't come into town. Why? Why are you coming? Why are you coming around us?
Right.
But he pressed on and made his way into Jesus' presence. And he knelt down before Jesus. Now, can you imagine the visible signs of leprosy and people that had shown this man? And when he comes to Jesus, Jesus just stands there.
Right.
You know why? Jesus had no fear of leprosy. Jesus had no fear of disease. Jesus had no fear of the devil or any other thing that was in this earth. So Jesus just stood there and looked leprosy right in the face.
All right.
And that man, when he got close enough and realized Jesus wasn't going to vanish like everybody else in his life, since he had been pronounced with this dreadly, awful disease, and he just looked at Jesus, and Jesus probably made eye contact him. And I don't know what he done, but I think maybe Jesus looked and probably smiled.
Right, why not?
And he thought, oh my, I haven't been this close to anyone in a long time. Haven't seen my brothers and sisters and family and wife and children and maybe grandchildren. I don't know how old he was, but Jesus just looks at him and he drops down to his knees.
Right.
And said, if thou wilt. Now, Jesus didn't say a word. This man just said, if thou wilt.
Right.
What a word of faith that Jesus is speaking. You know what he's saying in nowadays terms and vernacular? I know you can.
Right.
Maybe he had heard of the other lepers. Maybe, I don't know, I didn't do a whole lot of research on it. Maybe the other lepers had done been healed and this man had heard about it. And maybe he heard about the one that had been made whole. Maybe he heard of all that had happened. Maybe he heard about blind eyes open.
Right.
I know you can. Thou canst make me clean. Everybody say clean.
Clean.
Oh, I'm glad he's still making us clean today, aren't you? Oh, he'll make us clean. I'm not talking about just the outside, but I'm talking about the inside of the cup as well. We get a bad rap, you know, because we still believe in holiness. You know what? That's a cop out.
All right.
That's a cop out for people that want to abuse grace and don't want to change to look at us and go, oh, y'all just believe on holiness on the outside. No, people don't tell me that. And if they do, you know what my answer is, Brother Scare? Oh, no, you got it all wrong.
Right.
But I believe if the inside of the cup is clean and I'm going to drink out of it, I like to see the outside is visibly clean as well.
Amen.
Somebody said that, and it was a post here a while back, I think on Facebook, or maybe when the Skinner even mentioned it, talked about buying a banana. How do you buy a banana? Well, what's on the inside?
Right.
Now, I do that on some items, like chalky milk. When I go to the store, I'll open the chocolate milk right there and start drinking. Most of the time it's gone before I get to the register. Lady says, what happened here? I says, I had a hole in it. And it did. I ate mine right on the top and I rang it up and paid for it. You went throw this away? Sure, I don't want it no more. But when you buy fruit, you know what you do? You become a fruit inspector. You know why? Because you tell a lot by fruit by the way it looks.
Right.
Sure can. And we as Christians are fruit inspectors.
Right.
The Bible said, know them that labor among you.
Right.
You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears.
Right.
Now, we're not all probably at the same level. You know, you can tell when an orange is a baby orange.
Right.
But it still has some similarities. And it's still a little green. And it's a little small. But you know after a while, because it's headed in the right direction, it still looks like an orange, even though it's maybe in its infancy.
Right.
God's still working on us. And so he cleans us up. I'm glad he's still making us clean. Yes. And oh, by the way, that cleaning process just don't stop.
Yes, right.
No matter how old you get in God, you don't get old, God help us. No matter how long you've been preaching and living for God, no matter how long you've been in church, he still cleans us. Yes. And he'll take a shower today, or was it just me?
No,
why? Because I went out in the world and got contaminated.
Right.
Sometimes I come home, my wife says, you stink. I said, what? You stink? I said, I smell like money.
Yeah.
That's what that was. But Brother Skinner, you tell these kids sometimes, go take a bath. Why? I'm clean. No, you just think you're clean. But I ain't been outside, but go take a bath. Why? Because I want to make sure you're clean.
Right.
And use the soap while you're in there.
Yeah.
And use some shampoo while you're in there. Yeah, clean that. You know, this stuff is made to help you smell good. You know, you come to mom and she does the ear check.
Right.
And she pull your head over there. Maybe your wife don't do this. Mine doesn't. She'll smell over her head. You didn't wash that hair. You just run water through it. Now go back and get back in the shower again and do it all over again and use some shampoo and some conditioner.
Right.
And if they don't do it right, you know what happens? She'll do it for them. And trust me, they'll figure out real quick how to do it right. Because she gets those fingers working in there, boy, she'll take one layer of your scalp off. But you'll get that shampoo working in there, and you can smell that head, and now, woo, you smell clean now.
Right.
That's what Kai says. Perhaps you keen? Yeah, I got out of the shower, and I'm keen. It wasn't the water that made me keen. It was the soap and the using of it.
Right.
Hello? Yeah. And when we come to church, you know what he does? He takes the water of his word and the soap of truth, and it begins to wash on us and clean us up. All and right. We're getting another shower all over again from the Holy Ghost. You know why? It's because of grace. Somebody say grace.
Grace.
Lord, I want you to make me clean. And verse 41, and Jesus moved with compassion.
Oh,
I'm glad it's a compassionate God.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad it's a compassionate God. He put forth his hand and he touched him. He touched him.
Right.
People's probably looking and going, oh.
Right.
You're contaminated.
They didn't realize who Jesus was.
Right.
He didn't get contaminated. He was the disinfectant. He was the antibacterial contamination department all wrapped up in one. And when he reached out and touched that man, his uncontamination took over that man and healed that man and made him clean.
Yeah.
And he said unto him, I will.
Yes.
How if you will? First words Jesus spoke.
All right. You know why he will? Because he's a God of grace.
Yes.
He's a God of mercy. I will be thou clean. He's moved with compassion on behalf of this person who, from the world's point of view, was repulsive and undesirable, totally unappealing. In any situation, Jesus did not cleanse him because he deserved it, was nice looking, was wealthy. Right. Similarly, God does not choose to call us into his church because of who we are, because of our good works, because of our beauty or our money. In us is nothing spiritually appealing when we come to God.
Right.
I mean, think of it. We're reeking with sin and the world and attitude and the philosophies. We bring God a bucket of dirty.
Right.
And he cleanses us.
Yes.
Spiritually, we are like that leper who physically is repulsive and undesirable in the terms of holiness. But thank God for his grace. Titus 2. Let's get that, Brother Skinner. Get Titus 2. Titus 2 and 11. And then Ephesians 2 and 8, Brother Hunt. Nathaniel, you can get Romans 8. Or Romans. Get Romans 9, 15. And then Psalms 86 and 15. Titus 2 and 11, Brother. You got it, Brother Skinner?
Yes, sir.
Read that.
For the grace of God that brings
salvation. The grace of God that brings salvation
hath appeared to all men.
Hath appeared. Now listen. He didn't say all men have it.
Right.
He said it appeareth to all men. Read on.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness.
Hold on. Stop. What is grace? It's a teacher.
Yes.
Somebody say it's a teacher.
That's right.
Teacher. Grace is a teacher. Because of grace, we are taught. Read it again.
Teaching us that denying.
Teaching us denying ungodliness
and worldly lust.
And worldly lust.
We should live soberly.
We should live soberly.
Righteously. And godly.
And godly.
In this present world.
Right.
Now, if there's any scripture, and we know you don't do that, you don't pick and choose, you know. There's a lot of bone grace, but if there's any one that I put at the top, this is probably it.
Amen.
This is really what grace is.
Right.
Because of grace, you don't keep sin.
Right. Right.
Because of grace, you don't come to God and confront
the sin that's in your life and then turn around and go back out the same way you came.
No.
Grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is a teacher. And because of grace, we learn holiness.
Right.
We learn how to live.
Yes.
We want to be pleasing unto God.
Come on. Go ahead.
We used to sing a little song, Mirror of His Word, Reflection That I See. Makes me wonder why He never gave up on me. But He loves me as I am, and He helps me when I pray. I'm the potter, and He's the clay. The mirror of His Word. When you look into His Word, you know what you're doing? You're standing in front of that mirror. What a good wife does. And she looks. And she thinks. And then she'll go to her husband. If he's living for God and right and holy, got a right mind and all this stuff, and she'll say, how do I look? Does this look good? Can you see anything? Can you see through? How does this look? How does this look? How does that look? I can't see back there. I'm having a hard time. How does that look? Is it too tight?
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I representing you well as my husband? And am I, number one, representing Christ well?
Right.
He is the highest standard.
Yes, yes.
When I walk into Walmart, I don't want to be classified as the men of Walmart or the women of Walmart.
Right.
I want people to go and go, Christian. We sit down, and Sunday we go out to eat quite a bit, spend too much money eating, and we enjoy it. You know, we preach against everything else. So, you know, we're always going to spend our money and enjoy something. But anyway. Us, the preachers and family, people there. But on many occasions when people say, hey, where do y'all go to church, man?
Yeah, right.
Him? Church card. I give out church card. We start scrambling around. Hey, do you have a church card? Oh, man, I give out the last one. I forgot this one. You got a church card? Is there someone in the car? I'm going to give him a church card. And most of the time, I say most of the time, it's other folks that go to other churches.
Right.
Sometimes it's sinner folks. But most of the time.
Right.
Sit down at Sonny's. A little bit ago, a lady said, I think it was Sunday. I need prayer.
Yes.
So we start praying for her. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. We said a few words of prayer, but the husband said a few words of prayer. And we're praying for it. See, you don't have to. The Bible said don't cast your pearls before the swine.
Right.
They can't handle all that we have.
Right.
We got a bottle feed.
Right.
Sam, you know, we don't take a T-bone steak and lay it in front of him and say, go to town, cowboy.
Hello.
Right.
Oh, he would try. But you better know a hind leg maneuver and a finger maneuver and know how to get it out. We do feed him T-bone steak, but we cut it up in small pieces. Enough that his body can handle it.
Right.
You see, grace is a teacher.
Yes.
If you know, sometimes it's good to go back and look at where God brought us from, what we look like, what we act like.
Right.
Yeah. We was leprous and it was sticking out all over.
Yes.
I mean, sin was abounding everywhere. And if you cross some of us, I'm putting me in that category as well. Out in the world back in the day, with a skinner, and said a foul word to us, boy, you was going to get the 1, 2, 3, and the 3, 4, 5, and I'm behind the wild.
Right.
We cuss like sailors and they cuss like sailors. And all the sailors was getting along.
Yeah.
Now what do you do when you get cut off in traffic? Grace, grace. Sorry about that. God's grace. About having an accident last week. Guy rode a stop sign in a company truck. I was here. I was on the brakes so hard. I didn't know the man thought I'd lock brakes. Some of my trucks would lock up, and it locked up and bounced.
Anyway, when we stopped, he was in my lane. It was just like this. I could have got out and probably had a squeeze between the fenders. I wanted to get out and go shake it real good. What in the world are you thinking, man? Did you realize how close she was? I was on the driver's side. I killed him. Better go there, brother. I killed him.
Right.
He used all around. On down the road. Make sure my pants was all good. Everything was all intact. And, you know, we got to the red light. And Gordon's food service truck pulled up the park road at the fourth place and rolled down his window. And I rolled down mine. I said, "You see that?" He said, "Dude, you about killed the old guy, didn't you?" I said, "Whew, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I was half asleep. I mean, I wasn't as alert as I should have been. You know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And we're running that road all night long."
Thank God for grace.
Yes.
It changes us. It affects us. Somebody say it affects us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Another very important scripture on grace. Ephesians 2 and 8.
"For by grace are ye saved through faith."
Stop. You're saved by grace alone, right?
No.
Remember, and I know I talk about that a lot because I want to help you. The church world says you're saved by grace alone because they want you to have a license to sin. And it's grace alone and nothing else saves you. That ain't what the Bible says.
Right.
Read it again.
"For by grace are you saved through faith."
If I say through faith.
Through faith.
Through faith. Go ahead.
"And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God."
You're saved by grace through faith. And I know he goes on to say it's not of works. Listen, just like we say it's not of grace alone, it's not of works alone either. But you know it takes works to be saved?
Yeah, right.
That's why a lot of people, you know, you don't hear a lot of really other preachers talk about James.
Right, right.
He said faith without works is dead.
Right.
It's a process. Salvation is a process. Well, it's all of what Jesus done and nothing of what you do. And you're just a little bit ignorant of the word.
Right.
Because it's all of what God does and nothing that you do, and everybody's going to be saved.
Right.
If it's all of what God done and nothing that you do, then the devil's going to be saved. Because the Bible said he believed. All you have to do is believe. I know the verse talks about that. But the Bible also says, I think it's in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized."
Right.
Now I want to ask you a question. What is baptism? Is it a work?
Yes.
Or is it grace? Or is it a work of grace?
There you go.
It's you getting into the water because you believed in the work of grace.
Right, right.
And now you're buried in baptism. And you went through the trouble of getting in the horse trough. You went through the trouble of bringing a change of clothes because the Bible says that even wherewith by baptism are ye now saved. Not baptism alone.
Right.
But it's that process.
Yeah, amen.
So what are we saved by? Grace through faith.
You hear when I talk, that's what I say.
Right.
I don't ever stop at grace. It's always grace through faith.
Amen.
You can't save yourself, preacher. Well, neither does God save you alone neither, honey baby.
Right.
That's the way it works. You got to repent.
Yes.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got to do some confession. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You got to get baptized. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then you get up, and you know what you've done? You've just started walking. And you got to learn how to walk.
Right.
We're scared we get old anyway. Ain't it funny? Man, we used to run with the best of them. And now we get old and start walking like we did when we was young again. Watch for the holes.
Right.
Watch out.
Right.
Watch that step. I mean, hold on to somebody. Walking for God, closer I get to Calvary, the more I realize, God, help me to not stumble.
Right, right.
Help me not fall and mess up.
Right.
My legs are getting weak, Lord. And I don't want my spirit to get weak. I want to make it. Is that the case for the verse? God does not call us to salvation because of what we are, but because of who He is.
Amen.
Yes. According to His mercy, God decides whom He's going to have compassion on. Psalms 86:15. But Vince?
"But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion."
Full of compassion.
"And gracious."
Gracious.
"Long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth."
read them again. Start them again. What is he full of?
Compassion.
But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion.
Full of compassion.
And gracious long suffering.
Gracious long suffering.
And plenteous in mercy and
truth. Plenteous in mercy and truth.
Yes. I bet I'd preach about 3 days on that, just that verse right there.
Yes.
Man, while we was a mess.
Right.
And God's got a bucket full of compassion. And while we was out in the world and we was, the Lord helped me talk right. We was pretty bad. Okay, how about that? I'll fix it up for you.
Yeah.
Whew. We was all messed up. And the Lord's got a big cup of grace and mercy. And He allowed us to maybe get married to someone that was somewhat acquainted with this gospel. Maybe it was a family member or a friend. Maybe it was, I like to go out back and sometimes just talk about the stories. Amanda, you know how? Do you remember how we met your mom and dad? Do you remember all those years ago? Amanda was about. Yeah. You remember? Who invited your mom and dad?
I think they went to Brother Baptist Church
and
Brother Baptist
Church
about the church.
Then what about Baptist Church? Speaking of Brother Baptist Church, we're going there Friday night. If y'all would like to go, we're going to the youth rally Friday night. I went over to Bass. Knew my father well. What some stories he had. I went to the church up there. See, Brother Troy got hooked up with a Pentecostal woman. And she had Pentecostal in the background. She came from Indiana. Michigan, cold water, still water, some kind of water, something in Michigan. And the water was too cold and she moved south. And through all kinds of trouble, found this fellow. And this fellow was Baptist. And he used to tell me all the time, Brother Texter, I'm Baptist. I said, Brother Troy, you can be saved too. You just got to get baptized in Jesus' name. And he did. And filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't act like y'all. That's okay. I'm not saying you got to act like me. I'm kind of crazy. All the disciples didn't act the same.
Right.
But they all was baptized.
Yes.
They all had the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And they all spoke the same thing as far as gospel and truth and things of that nature. And here they come. My dad had a radio program in Center. The guy that wrote the radio station really liked my father. He let us come and mow grass. Pay for radio time. My pastor, Elder Ruby Thrasher, that I love so dear, he told me, he said, I had a radio broadcast for years, never won anybody. I said, well, you know what? My wife is a product of the radio broadcast.
Yes.
Got an old AM station her mom used to listen to on Sunday, and she flipped through there and listened to these preachers and found this old Pentecostal preacher, apostolic preacher, Reverend Paul Texter in Plant City, Florida. And, hey, he's advertising Christian school. And here they come to church. I never will forget it. And come in this lady. I can describe what they look like. Now, I don't know what kind of clothes they had on. It was all in dresses. But here come Mama Bear and three girls.
Grace. And our lives have never been the same.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Grace. Brought us from a mighty long way. The Gilley family, they was in a Trinitarian Apostolic or Trinitarian Pentecostal church, and I don't remember how Pop Gilley and them heard about us. I don't remember. What I do remember is there's a whole bunch of them. It was Mom and Pop Gilley and about three of the kids and their spouses and all their kids. There's about 20 or 30 of them walked in the church. Daddy preached and he loved and they stayed for years and years and years. Romans 9:15-16.
For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Wait a minute. I thought everybody has mercy.
All right.
I thought everybody had grace. We was Daniel's teaching about the ark and this, that, the other in the class. We've got to talk about the ark. And we used to hear David and the Giants, a Pentecostal group, and went to a few of their concerts, and they had a song called Noah. And they would always finish off with the song called Noah. and the altar call. And they dimmed the lights, and the music was turned real loud. And it started playing.
He'd give a little interlude about the story of Noah and the ark, and then he'd start saying,
lights turned out, and the music's going, sounds like rain and thunder.
In the dark, and it starts going, Noah! Noah! And you begin to think about the people that call this little preacher man crazy.
He's building a ship in the middle of dry land. I mean, they didn't even know what a ship was back then. All they had was boats. But you would have thought now, as the stories got through town, they was all partying and just living it up and having a good time and doing everything they always done. But you would have thought when two elephants come in. And then behind it's two bulls. Kind of deal they got going on here. And then behind them is two sheep. And then you got a couple of goats. And then you got a big old lion roar. What the world? And then here comes a little sneaky snake. And Noah's not over there with a whip going, get on the boat! Get on the boat! Get on the boat! He's just standing outside preaching truth. And the animals is listening when people wouldn't even listen.
Right.
Yes, that's right. You'd have thought somebody would have thought, hey,
let me get on that boat.
What's it going to hurt?
Right.
We ain't never seen rain before. This man's crazy. A lot of people have never seen hell, fire, and brimstone either, but they're going to see it.
Right.
If they don't get right, listen to the call.
Yes.
And then, all those animals gets on. Here goes Brother Noah. We was talking about how many it was. How many it was? Preachers can't answer. How many people was it? Preachers can't answer. Got your hearing aid turned down? It ain't on. The question was how many people got on. Here goes Noah. One preacher. The timelines are in the Bible of how many years it took him to build the ark. And you know, when he got off the ark, if you go backwards from that time, you can tell how old Noah was when God told him to build a boat. And you can prove by that fact that Noah had no children. When God first told him to build an ark to save you and your family, it was just him and Sister Noah.
Right.
So he's preaching and having babies. And preaching and having babies.
Right.
Now, where did he get his daughter lost from?
Out there in the world.
Right.
So he's probably praying. And probably God sent some old sinner girls in there and they repented and got married to his children. And they got on the boat right along with their husbands. That's why that story is a whole lot better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Lot lost the authority and the respect of his own sons-in-laws and ended up losing some dollars in the town because they wouldn't even listen to their daddy because their husband said, your daddy's crazy.
Right.
And God shuts the door. And it begins to rain. And the water begins to rise. And the boat begins to float. And there's probably claw marks on the outside of people.
Noah! Let me in that boat!
All of them didn't have grace.
Right.
Noah
found grace. Saved his wife.
Right.
Saved his sons. Three sons and three daughters. And the whole population of the whole world after that all came from Noah because he found what others did not have. I don't know about you. You know what I'm looking for in this crazy world? I'm looking for God's grace.
Yeah.
I'm looking for God's favor.
Yeah.
I want to be right. Let's hurry on. Mark 14, 46 and 47. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword. We know who he was by one of the other Gospels, old Peter. And he smote him. Smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now one of the other Gospels says that Jesus healed him and put it back on. Jesus worked this miracle of healing in the same moment that he was submitting to his cruel enemies. In addition, on the heels of his agonizing prayers, categorized by his bloody
perspiration in Luke 22 and 44. One of his own disciples, Judas, had given him away, had betrayed him with a kiss. And then we understand the horrors that are going to come, the arrest, the trial, the crucifixion, the cruelest trial and ever, the suffering that will befold him had never happened before like this and never again. If there's ever any situation that justified a little self-focus, and one would think it would have been right now. Yet Jesus, our prime example amid all of this, he chose to show mercy. He reached down to one of the arresting officers and picked up his ear. You're talking about grace? These people are supposed to take him in. These people are supposed to lead him before Pilate. And they're supposed to accuse him and falsely accuse him. These people are going to arrest him. These people are going to beat him. Yet he shows grace. He shows mercy. He elected to perform a miracle of mercy, of outgoing love and faithfulness, to show the grace of God in action, even during the most stressful of times. We find so many excuses in our world today. Many people should be ashamed. They find excuses for not serving God. For the slightest reason, some people skip church services. For the slightest reason, they neglect to come to the aid of others and refuse to help with the needs of people. I heard a story that a certain pastor during some flooding in Texas, one guy made a comment. He said, "Well, my Jesus don't look like that big mega church pastor." Because during the flooding in this town in Houston, the mega church pastor told them, said, "No, we won't accept people." Now, these people had lost their homes. Some of their families had drowned. And he said, "No, we won't accept no, basically, refugees of the city because we got new church carpet." This guy said, "But Mattress Max," that's what he called him, I believe. Guy's name was Max, and he owned a mattress store. The store was above the water. People was no place to stay. Mosquitoes are starting to, you know, it's flooding. They said Mattress Max went and opened his door and said, "Y'all need a place to stay tonight? Come on in here. There's mattresses. Just get on the mattresses and get on the couches." People filled up his store, you know, dirty water on their feet and whatever trampled in. Next morning, Mattress Max says, "Hey, I've called down to a certain restaurant a couple towns away, and we got a couple vans, and we're bringing food, breakfast for everybody." He fed them, clothed them,
right,
till the aid of the government and all could come in. This guy said, "You know what? I don't think I want the Jesus that the big mega church pastor has. Right. I think I want my Mattress Max. Yeah. That's my kind of Jesus."
Yeah.
Yes. A Jesus that has compassion. You see, if we reflect truly, that's why, you know, Aunt Robin told my wife one time, said, "You just got something written on your forehead," because they go out together or whatnot. So I come to my wife and ask, "You got a dollar? I need some help." People come by here, "I'm hungry. Are you true? Are you hungry? You're hungry. Where's the Wendy's right here? I'll go down and get you a hamburger and french fry. You know, they got a $5 piggy bag. I'll go get you one of them if you're hungry." Bro Skinner, I've been down many times and spent my $5 for a piggy bag and come back and they wouldn't know where to be found.
Right.
You know what? I just did it one of them. I don't want to see nobody go hungry. And I don't want people to go by and come, "Oh, that, don't go to that church. They won't help you." No, we really want to help you. Do you know what I do? Give them a church card. "Hey, they'll do it sometime before service. Hey, come on in and sit down during service one time." I had a whole family come in. "We need some help, preacher." I said, "Well, I'll tell you what. You need gas money? Come in and sit through service." "Oh, I can't do that. We're busy." "Well, God bless you, sir. Go on your way."
If you really need gas, I don't think you got a job. I didn't say that, but you know, it looks like to me you got really no place to be. Come on and sit down. One guy did, him his whole family sit down. We sung a few songs, and I got up preaching, and he stood up, "Oh, preacher, I got to go. I'm time constrained," and we got to him, the whole family got up with that. Well, again, I don't want to put $20 worth of gas in this car. That's back when it's $2 a gallon, that's a lot of gas. I would. I don't give them money because they'll just use that. I'll go down to the gas station and get gas.
Help them. If it had just sent through service. You know why? Because we should be compassionate.
Now, you can be taken advantage of, so you have to be careful. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You have to be careful nowadays. Hey, can I borrow your phone? No, let me call that number for you. Why? Because I got Cash App on here. People take your phone and Cash App themselves. Where'd that money go? So you have to be careful. But that don't mean that we make excuses. I'm not trying to serve and help. I don't want to make excuses and think I'm going to be exempt from serving God. You know, some of these people better be sure that their problems are greater than those faced by our Savior at the time of this miracle. We're supposed to show compassion. We're supposed to have help. We're supposed to. I was in Wendy's this morning. They had a adopted child on there, and I looked at that and I thought, man. I'd probably adopt a few. My daughter would adopt a few. If the stinking government wouldn't get in there with their claws and charge you thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars and all the rigmarole you got to go through. But it's so easy to go down there and kill them.
Right.
Grace.
Acts 20 and 32 in closing. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up. Remember, what did we establish that grace was? A teacher. God's grace, I commend that to you, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to delve into that a great deal, but I'm just going to tell you this. You know why I'm still serving God today? Because my father put some treasures in a bank account one day.
Right.
And he said, son, I'm going to pass this inheritance on to you. And I've been putting some things in that bank account. I don't have much in the National Reserve bank account called GTE. I ain't got much in the retirement account. But in my heavenly account, we've got years and years